Hey man, it is good to see you today. How many are happy to be here? Amen. It is always good, and I always celebrate being in the presence of God with a bunch of church family. And so anyway, welcome today. It is good to be together as we get ready to come into spring, right? Thanks for getting up early and setting your clocks accordingly. If anyone walks in about now, they're probably forgot to set their clocks. So keep an eye on who's coming in over the next 15 or 20 minutes, and then we can all just rejoice and celebrate that they made it to church today. But welcome today. It's always good to be together. I like the ocean view up here on the screen. It just makes me excited, makes me smile. Summer's coming, right? And that is always a good thing. Before we dig into the message today, I just want to just tell you, we are looking for an administrative assistant. So if you or someone you know is looking for a position like that, have them connect with the church office or one of the pastoral staff, and we'd love to talk a little bit more about that or share some information about that position. But today we're going to continue on. We've been walking through this series, going through the 23rd Psalm, and so we've been walking through nice and slow. It really takes about a minute, as you just heard, to read through the Psalm, the 23rd Psalm. But there's so many powerful things within this illustration that David gives to us. It's a powerful Psalm, and it's written, and it's very poetic, right? And so it really tugs on the hearts, especially those that love the poetic nature of it, but it's not just a soft, fluffy spiritual lullaby, right? This is a warrior king that wrote the words of this psalm, the king of Israel, and he drew from his own experience about shepherding sheep in his youth to be able to build this illustration out of how the Lord is our shepherd. And it's a beautiful psalm, and really it's distant to us in its illustration, because I don't know about you, but I've never served as a shepherd. Any shepherd here? Any shepherds here in the house? I don't see any hands going up. Anyone ever have a sheep on your land or on your property? Anybody? Nope, I don't see anybody. So you're all like me, right? We're pretty distant from this illustration, because we've never had, sheep in our lives. But it's a beautiful illustration of God being our shepherd. And he knows and he cares for each of us so individually. And that's one of the beautiful things about this psalm is, yes, he watches the sheep, right, in the community aspect. But he also, we have that deep relationship with him individually as our shepherd, and it speaks to us perfectly. He provides for us in our need, and we are compared to other sheep, or compared to sheep, right? And sheep, from what I understand, it's not a very good illustration necessarily on our part, because sheep are pretty dumb animals, from what I've understood. And so we're called, a kind of a bunch of dumb animals. Why? Because we can't necessarily protect ourselves. We can't care for ourselves. We can't protect. We can't save ourselves. And there's so many parts of this illustration that speak so deeply to us. Because we are helpless on our own. We need our shepherd in our lives in order to do life like God wants us to do our lives. So again, just in summary, we're going to look really briefly. In verse 1, we saw that shepherd's partnership, right? I belong to him and he provides for me. I shall not be in want. It speaks to us of contentment. In our relationship with God, we should find contentment. We should be the most content people on this planet, right? Because we have something to look forward to when this life is over, and that's being in the presence of Almighty God for the rest of eternity. And that should bring excitement into our lives as we think about our good shepherd. And so there's contentment there. In verse 2, we saw the shepherd's presence and leadership. We saw that he makes me lie down in green pastures. We find that restful thought, right? He leads me beside quiet waters. That rest and that refreshment that we find in our relationship with Almighty God, right? We love those moments where we are finding rest and that refreshment in our relationship with Almighty God. Verse 3, it talks about how He restores us, right? He restores my soul. He puts us back on our feet after we fall flat on our face, right? You know, He puts us back. He picks us up. He restores us once again in our lives. He takes me to the best places, right? He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. You know, we walk in those paths of righteousness. Sometimes sheep have a hard time finding out what path to take, but when we follow our shepherd, He leads us, and not only does He lead us, He leads us into a place of righteousness. And so as we submit to our Heavenly Father, we'll start living a life that's filled and overflowing with righteousness for His name's sake. And then we see in verse 4, last week we talked about His protection. God is with us in the ordinary days of His life, in our lives, but He's there with us in some of the hardest parts of our lives as well. Verse 4 talks about that. You know, in this world, Jesus said, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world, is what Jesus spoke to His disciples. And in our lives, you know, we go through some dark moments, the valley of the shadow of death, but I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they bring comfort to me. That rod and that staff, right, that the shepherd carries, the rod, it took care of the enemy. Right, it was an offensive weapon to take care of the enemies, and so our shepherd watches us and takes care of our enemies that are prowling around, right? But also that rod was used to correct the sheep from time to time. How many love the correction of Almighty God? I hope your hands up, right? I hope, you know, yes, well, man, it's tough walking through those moments of correction, but what a beautiful thing when we start walking and responding to the correction of our shepherd and walking deeper, more deeply in intimacy in our relationship with Him, right? He carries that rod, but He also carries that staff. That staff puts us back on track. It reaches out and, you know, He pulls us closer, gets us back on the path. You know, one thing that I read also, when we fall into a ditch, you know, He uses that staff to pull us out of the ditch. And so there's moments in our lives where we get off track and that staff, He just comes and nudges us back on track and gets us right in the right place once again. And so we're thankful for that in our lives. Today we're going to look at verse 5 and how He provides for me and His provision, through His provision, He sustains me, right? He sustains us in our lives. So why don't we stand up today, stretch your legs once again. We don't do this every week, but I just felt we need to do this through this series. So if you can, stand up, right? And we're going to read God's Word together, out loud. All of us are going to read together this 23rd Psalm. This is ESV that we're reading off the screen. That's the version we're going to read together, so it might be a little different than that King James if you grew up back then, or the NIV that, you know, if you grew up kind of in my age demographic. But anyway, here we are. Let's read together. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lord, thank You for Your word. Open up our hearts to hear from You today. And God, just thank You, Lord, that we can be in Your house. We love You. We thank You. In Your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. First thing I want to look at in this passage and out of this verse 5 today is you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. The first point is that in the presence of our good shepherd, we experience true fellowship with our King. We're thankful for fellowship with our King, right? You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And so when we think about this verse and we unpack this verse a little bit, you know, we start wrestling with the imagery that's here. In a book called A Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23, Philip Keller, he wrote that often the large grassy plateaus are called mesas, a word that means table. The shepherd leads the sheep through the valleys to the high grassy grazing areas. He rubs oil on the sheep to keep flies and ticks away, and the shepherd provides clean water for the sheep. So here we are. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Have you ever stopped and said, why in the world did you write it that way, David, right? You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. How many enjoy being in the presence of your enemies? Right? None of us, right? We want to stay away from those bums, right? You know, there are enemies for a reason. Right, but you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Some commentators suggest that David is switching metaphors here, that a gracious dinner host. There might be something to say about that interpretation, but I think he's really describing more of the shepherd leading his sheep to that pasture. He prepares that pasture before them. Ideally, the best place for a sheep to graze is on that flat mesa, right? And so before letting the lambs graze, the shepherd inspects the field for any poisonous plants, also ensures there's no predators that are prowling around, and then he allows those sheep to graze in that beautiful pasture. The sheep can eat and rest despite the enemies nearby. Why? Because the shepherd is doing his job by keeping his eye on the sheep. So even while the enemies are prowling around, the shepherd is there to keep guard and keep watch over the flock. He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. God sets a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Wouldn't it make more sense if the table were just set in his presence? Wouldn't that be beautiful if it just stopped right there? You prepare a table before me in your presence. Right? You know, we think about that word picture and we're like, man, why in the world did he throw in the enemies here? You know, why didn't God change our circumstances and just destroy our enemies? Why didn't he say, I destroyed all of your enemies. Now I prepare a table before you. Go sit down and enjoy, right? You know, it would be beautiful if it was just reworded or re-looked at, you know, but here's how David puts that picture and paints that picture, that there's a table prepared before us in the presence of our enemies. It's stunning when we picture it. The good shepherd has set a table before us. We're at a feast filled with delicious food to satisfy and sustain us. We're dining in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He prepared the table before us, right? And so here we are, and we get that image that we are at the table, so to speak, with our King and with our Lord. Meanwhile, our enemies prowl around us, watching us at the table. The battle's still raging. We're still filled in a world that has disaster, has problems, has chaos all around us. But here we are in that moment of intimacy with our King. You know that he's prepared that table before us. You know, and as long as we keep our eyes fixed on our King, then we won't be living in fear with all the enemies prowling around us and all the problems and the chaos of our world that's overwhelming us in those moments. And so the imagery here again is, let's keep our eyes fixed on what we should have our eyes fixed on, right? Our eyes need to be fixed. Our attention needs to be fixed on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Our enemies, they prowl around watching us at the table. That battle is raging. But the good shepherd wants us to know that is that there with us in the midst of our pain, our trials, and our struggles, he is there with us. Paul wrote, if God is for us, who can be against us? Right? If God is for us, who could be against us? It doesn't matter how strong or how big our enemies might be. You think of that David and Goliath type of a thing or an imagery, right? It doesn't matter how big our enemy is because my eyes are fixed on my King. And you know what? It doesn't matter because my God is stronger, my God is bigger, and in the end, my God is victorious. And we are on the side of victory because we are serving the King of Kings, the Lord over all lords, and we are on the side of victory. And so I challenge you once again, let's get our eyes off the problems, let's get our eyes off the enemy, let's get our eyes off the situation, and let's get our eyes on the victory that's before us, because we have given our heart to Jesus and he is the Lord and the master of our lives. And so we are on the side of victory. David knew what it meant to sit at a table in the presence of his enemies. You know, there's moments and there's stories, and we're not going to unpack all those stories, but there's stories of how he sat at a table in the presence of his enemies. Think about King Saul. I'm sure there were moments in his life that he sat at the table with King Saul. And King Saul was his enemy, right? That was trying to kill him and going after him and trying to destroy his very life. And so, you know, this picture here, it caused, I think, him to write these words. In Psalm 41, verse 9, it says, even my close friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted his heel against me, right? And those are words that we can understand. Those are words that we can relate to, you know, just that idea that David, you know, in his life, you know, he had moments where he was in the presence of his enemies. But even in those moments, he kept his eyes on his King and on his Lord. When we stand in the presence of the Good Shepherd, we can feel a profound sense of peace and security. It's profound, you know, that peace and security that we can feel no matter what's happening, no matter how the battle's raging around us, we can find peace and security in our lives because we serve a powerful and a mighty God. Second thing we want to look at really quickly today is in the presence of the Good Shepherd, we find unwavering strength and support that dispels all our fears. We can find that unwavering strength and support that will help us overcome all of our fears in the midst of having that table before our enemies. In the midst of all the chaos, we can still find peace and strength and security in our relationship with Almighty God. It says there, those next couple of words, you anoint my head with oil. As Christians, we celebrate the victory that God gives by sitting down at the table in the presence of our enemies. But David goes further with his picture of God as a perfect host. And so he says, you anoint my head with oil. The first thing we think of is maybe anointing in Scripture is when someone was anointed to be king, or someone was anointed to be a priest, or all those different moments of anointing, ceremonial anointings that took place. But there's another use of anointing in the Bible. It's the way that the host refreshed those that came in to dine with him. It's a way of welcoming and showing love to and acceptance to those guests that came in. If David was referring to a dinner party, maybe he had that in mind, and the host goes around the table putting expensive and fragrant oil on the guests' foreheads. This would help neutralize body odor from the smells of the field and would spoil the dining experience, right? Right? It's no good smelling something unpleasant when you're sitting down to eat a nice dinner. Right? That's not always a good thing. I'm not going to say the name of the restaurant, but since I've been here, I walked into one of the chain restaurants. My wife and I walked in for dinner here in Parma. It's a chain restaurant. We walked in, we took one step into the restaurant. Thankfully, the host or the hostess wasn't at the stand. I went,
honey, we're out. And we turned around and walked right out. It smelled so bad, I just said, I don't want to sit down and eat at this restaurant, right? Because the unpleasant smell that we smelled when we walked in the restaurant. And right, you know, so that the unpleasant smells around us can destroy our appetite. And so the host would go around in those days, and they'd put some oil on their guests to help neutralize some of that smell. And so we have a picture here, we have a picture of this type of anointing in Luke chapter 7. Jesus goes to eat at the house of Simon the Pharisee, and while he's there, this sinful woman, can you believe it? A sinful woman comes in, anoints his feet with an alabaster box of ointment. We won't get into all the imagery of that story, but let me read a couple of verses. It says, then turning towards the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house and you gave me no water for my feet, and she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. What a beautiful picture, right? But in there, there's that picture of anointing your guests with oil, right? When they come into your presence, a loving host would shower oil honor on the guest by anointing them with oil. David feels that's a sign of a gracious love. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. While this may shed some meaning, some light on the meaning of the text, I think David still here is submerged in this idea of sheep and the shepherd relationship. So let's get our minds off of the meal and the sitting around a table today, and let's get back to the pastures where the shepherd was with his sheep. In ancient Israel, shepherd, according to research that I've seen, shepherd used oil for three purposes. Three purposes that the shepherd would use oil on his sheep: to repel insects, to prevent conflict, and to heal wounds were the three uses of oil in that day and age. So to repel insects, bugs were really an irritation to sheep. In fact, they would swarm around the sheep. They would lay larvae sometimes up the nose of a sheep, which would cause the sheep to go crazy. They would start bashing their heads into rocks and into trees, into any thing, because they were so irritated by these bugs that were just hatching in their noses, right? And so that's a disgusting kind of a thought. But at the same time, you know, that's one of the uses of the oil. He would put oil on the sheep's head to help, you know, keep the bugs away from the sheep. He would also use it to prevent injury during conflicts. The oil was used to prevent injury when the rams would start butting heads with each other in battle. Why did they usually butt heads with each other? Because they saw a pretty girl, right? You know, that causes the worst to come out in guys sometimes. But yeah, they were fighting over the same woman, right? You know, the same ewe or whatever they call the girl sheep. You know, so here they are in that moment of conflict. And so the sheep would put oil over the heads, right, so that they wouldn't cause as much damage. They might slip off each other, right, when they're bashing each other's heads. You know, so conflict, when it arose within the sheep in his pasture, he would put oil or some kind of a grease on there to help, you know, to not have as much injury during conflict. And he would also use it to heal wounds. The third reason was there was wounds that would come from, you know, prickers or from rocks or from different things, different obstacles that the sheep would face. And so the oil was used to bring healing. And what a beautiful picture of what the shepherd does for us. You know, he deals with the little problems by protecting us from things that we might not even see, those little irritations, those bugs. How many times has God come into our lives and helped protect us from some of those little issues in our lives that would have irritated or, you know, caused a whole lot of problems in our lives. We don't know all the times that he has done that, but he does that, right? Because that's the shepherd's presence with his sheep is protecting us from some of those little irritations in our lives. How many times has God helped us in those moments of conflict? Have you ever faced conflict in your life? Have you ever butt heads with somebody in the church? You know, how many times has God helped us in those moments, right? You know, that it could have been so destructive to the unity in the house of God, where God brought peace in the midst of those situations, or brought those, you know, problems where they weren't as significant or as severe or as damaging as they would have been without his presence in the midst of his sheep. Because sometimes we're going to bump into each other, right? Sometimes we're going to get upset. Sometimes I'm going to do things you don't like, and sometimes you're going to do things I don't like, right? And same thing with bugs, all of us, right? We're going to bump into each other. That's part of living life in a church family. We're going to have those problems, those irritations, and those moments that we face, some struggles and some conflict in our lives. And many times it's conflict over little insignificant things, but sometimes it's conflicts over bigger things. You know, but again, we need to be on the same page, because there is a lost world that's going to hell all around us. And so we need to be unified and running together in order to do the work that God has for us here in Parma, Ohio. Amen? We need to be unified together. We need to get rid of some of those little disagreements and get focused back on the mission that God has given to this church. And you know what? That mission doesn't change no matter how hot or cold it is in this room, right? That mission doesn't change no matter if we sing hymns or modern choruses, does it? That mission doesn't change no matter if we like the carpet or if we don't like the carpet. We wish we had the pews still in the house, or we're thankful we have the chairs. I don't know. You know, God's mission for this house doesn't change for all those little things that sometimes cause big controversy in some churches, you know. But in our lives, again, we need to keep our eyes fixed on our King and fixed on our Lord and worshiping him with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength, and going after those that need a relationship with Almighty God in our lives. Don't know how I got there, but I did. He also brings healing to us. Right, that last little imagery of that shepherd anointing his sheep with oil and how that brings healing into our lives. In fact, we still do that. We still practice that almost every Sunday here. You know, we didn't do that today, but almost every Sunday in our service, in our worship time, you know, we invite some prayer team to come forward, and we use these little bottles of oil. That's what these are. If you're like, what in the world is that up there? That's just little anointing oil. And we just pray for the sick. As James says in James 5:14, it says this: is anyone among you sick? Let him call on the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Right? That's what Scripture teaches us to do. We still anoint people with oil and pray that God will bring healing upon their lives, because he is the good shepherd that still brings healing into our lives today. Amen? We still believe in the power of prayer and the power of healing and the supernatural touch of God in this house, right? That's what we believe. We believe one word from God can change whatever a doctor's been telling us for the last 6 years, right? It doesn't matter what the doctors may have been telling us, because we have a great physician, our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords, and we can go to him, you know, with the needs of our lives. He is still there. He is still with us. He is still bringing healing. So in the comforting presence of the Good Shepherd, we find unwavering strength and support to dispel all our fears. The last point I want to look at today is that the overflow of my life reflects your closeness, of your life reflects your closeness to the Shepherd. Last couple of words there. My cup overflows. What's overflowing from your cup? You know, what's overflowing from your cup? In the presence of Almighty God, some good stuff's going to be overflowing from your cup, right? There's going to be all sorts of incredible things. The supernatural fruit of the Spirit that God grows in our lives, right? The fruit of God's Spirit, that love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, on and on the rest of the list goes. Galatians chapter 5, you can read all about it. Those supernatural things that overflow from our lives as we are living in a close and intimate relationship with Almighty God. But what happens? What overflows from your life in moments where things are starting starting, you feel a little pressure, or maybe you bump into somebody, maybe even you bump into somebody in church, and what starts overflowing from your life in those moments shows a whole lot about your closeness and your relationship with Almighty God. I want us to get this illustration today, this moment, these words here, my cup overflows. As we read David's words in Psalm 23, again we ask, why has God set the table in the presence of his enemies? This table is not set just in God's presence, but it's in the presence of all our difficulties. It's in the presence of all our challenges. So why is that table set there? God has put the table close enough to the world so that the world can see what is happening in our lives. Christianity is not just a private thing between us and God in our prayer closet, is it? Christianity is lived out every day of our lives. You know, Sunday through Saturday, every day, right? It's lived out how we're walking in our relationship with Almighty God, that walking in step with Him every day. You know, that intimacy we have in our relationship with Him, this is something that's not just a Sunday morning thing. I checked the box, I did my Christian thing, I'm done, right? No, it's something that impacts our everyday life. It's a relationship in everyday life. So someone who needs to know that there is something called abundance can lean over and start looking at your life when you're going through some tough times, some moments in your life, and they can start seeing how you handle the pressures of life and all the situations you're going through, and they can start observing you and saying, look at how they're walking through that moment in their life. How do they do that? You know, if we want to stand out, we must shine or show the light of Jesus Christ every day in our lives. Matthew 5:16, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says this, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Let people look at your life and bring glory to God and start worshiping God, saying, wow, look at how they're living their life. Look at what's going on. Their world is falling apart, yet they're staying close in their life with God. They're still walking with peace in their relationship with God. How in the world can they have peace right now when all of this is going on in their lives? That's one of the reasons I believe God puts us in the presence of our enemies so that people can see how we live our lives, and they can start being drawn deeper in our relationship with God. We have a light in our eyes. We want to have light in our eyes today and live with joy in our hearts. We must keep our eyes locked on our King at the table instead of the problems around us. The table set in the middle of our enemies so we can respond to the invitation of rest in the presence of our Savior. Resting in the presence of the Almighty is one of the best methods of defense that we have against our enemy. Being in the presence of our Almighty God. So why does God prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies? The first reason is so that we can understand that our God is sufficient. He is sufficient. He is there at the table with us. He is there in the moments of weakness, in the moments of trials, in the moments of struggles, in the moments of plenty, in the moments of good, in the moments of everything's going right in your life. In every moment of your life, you have your King to look at. And you can say, my King is sufficient. I don't need to be chasing after all the things in this world like all my friends are. I can be focused on my King because that's what matters. When I die, I'm going to stand before Almighty God and give an account for my life. And so my God is sufficient. He will meet my needs according to his riches in glory. And I can trust in him in all things, just like Jesus talked in the Sermon on the Mount. Don't worry about your life, what tomorrow will bring. For tomorrow is enough trouble of its own, right? You know, just understand that we can rely on our God because he is sufficient in our lives. Second reason for the table's location is to show our enemies that God is enough. God loves our enemies. I know that's hard for you to wrap your mind around, right? But God loves your enemy just like he loves you. I'm not saying all this to downplay what your enemy or what that person that hurt you has done to you. I'm not saying that at all. God hopefully will bring justice in some way or another.
You know, if people have hurt you in some way, right, that's beyond just a hurt feeling, right? I'm talking about criminal things. Should hopefully God's justice will come and take care of those types of things. But I'm telling you today that your enemies are loved by God. And even those that have hurt you in your life, God wants a relationship with them. And so what does Scripture tell us to do for our enemies? Pray for our enemies. And so I challenge you today, get on your face before God and start praying for your enemies. Start saying, God, give me strength, give me help, give me wisdom on how I relate and how I talk and how I live in relationship with my enemies that you have placed in my life. God loves our enemies. He desires for them to receive a witness. When we focus on God, our faces reflect Him, allowing them to see God in us. We reflect God's glory. Another reason is so that we can be in a place where our cup is overflowing, right? It's beautiful, that imagery, my cup overflows. And so being in that close relationship with Almighty God, you know, God will overflow our cup. Luke 6:45 says this, a good person out of the treasure, good treasure in his heart produces good, but the evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. So what's coming out of your mouth? What's coming out of your life? Is it the good treasure that's stored up in your heart, or is it the evil, the bad treasure? You know, so what is it that's coming out of your life? What is overflowing out of your life? He's going to bring provision overflowing. He's going to bring peace overflowing. He's going to bring, you know, just that satisfaction in our relationship with Him overflowing. He's going to bring, you know, all sorts of blessings into our lives. But what is overflowing? What is other people seeing and experiencing in close relationship and proximity to us? Do our enemies see the good things of God overflowing from our lives? Or do the enemies around us see the nasty, hateful words or vengeance coming out of our lives, you know, when we bump into them? So while I ask you that question, you know, what is overflowing from your life? Are you overflowing with peace? Are you overflowing with joy even in the worst situations of your life? This overflowing cup is a metaphor for our lives, not overflowing with material possessions, but overflowing with joy, peace, and contentment. Do you have joy? Do you have peace? Do you have contentment overflowing from your life? Right? I tell you this, I've said it before, I'll say it again, right? As Christians, we should be the most joyful people this world ever encounters. Amen? How'd you do this last week? Were you overflowing with joy? Or were you a miserable wretch to live with? Right? Ask your spouse on the way home. I'm not asking mine. I don't know what she'll say. You know, but yeah. You know, we should be the most joyful people that this world ever sees. Well, joy should be overflowing from our life. Peace should be overflowing from our lives. Why? Because our eyes are fixed on our King, and it doesn't matter what chaos is happening around me. I'm going to live with joy. I'm going to live with peace. I'm going to live with contentment, right? Those are things that the shepherd brings into my life because I'm walking in relationship with Him. So are those things overflowing from your heart and from your life every day? Even in the most difficult times, God fills us with a brim with His goodness and His grace. It's not just about having enough. It's about having more than enough, having a life marked with abundant joy, peace, and contentment. So what's overflowing from your cup? Are you leading people to Jesus as you walk through the suffering that you find in this world? When we focus on God, people will notice a difference about us. People will notice that there's something different about who we are and how we live our lives. Our Savior has the power to bless us even in the presence of our enemies. And His blessing He pours out on us, His blessings that He pours out on us are overflowing. The Apostle Paul tells us that God has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. You are living with blessing in your life. Are those that are around you seeing the blessings that God has poured out upon you in your life? In Christ, we have so many powerful blessings. And hopefully these are blessings that the world is seeing. reflected in our character, the words, our actions, every day of our lives. Let's stand up around this place today. Worship team, you can come on up. As I was preparing for this message, I came across this list of ways that God has blessed us. You ready? Here's a couple of ways. If you've given your heart to Jesus, if you made Him your Lord and your Master, here's a couple of real ways that God has blessed your life. He's blessed us with a love that can never be fathomed, with a life that can never die, with a righteousness that can never be tarnished, with a peace that can never be understood, with a rest that can never be disturbed, with a joy that can never be diminished, with a hope that can never be disappointed, with a joy that can never be clouded, with a light that can never be darkened, with a happiness that can never be interrupted, with a strength that can never be enfeebled, with a purity that can never be defiled, with a beauty that can never be marred, with a wisdom that can never be baffled, with blessings that can never be exhausted, right? That's the blessings of God and our relationship with Him. So today, as we get ready to close and just spend some time in worship, in this closing time of worship here in the presence of Almighty God, I want you to spend some time just thinking about all the blessings that God has brought into your life. If you've given your heart to Jesus, if He is indeed the Lord and the Master of your life, then we have salvation, right? And we can all rejoice in that. But in addition to salvation, there are so many blessings after blessings after blessings that God has brought into our lives. And so I want us to start overflowing with just that peace and that joy and that love for God as we fix our eyes on Him and say, God, I worship You because of the salvation I've received. And God, I worship You because of all the blessings that You brought in my life. And God, I just want those around me to be blessed because I've been blessed by You. I want them to see how a man or woman of God walks through some of the dark moments in life. I want them to see, even my enemies, I want them to see how a man or woman of God walks when things are going against them because I'm walking in closeness with You, because I have a relationship with You, because You are overflowing my life with Your love, Your joy, Your peace. And God, I pray that You would just help me to be a good example of who You are and what You are doing in my life. So today, let's count our blessings, right? Let's remember all the things that God has done, and let's pray that the people around us would see our cup overflowing as we walk in proximity to everyone that God has placed in our lives. God, we love You so much. We thank You for Your presence in this place. And God, as we worship You in this house, God, I pray that You will be glorified in this time together. And God, just come and have Your way in this moment together today. And Lord, help us to, as we rejoice in Your presence, as we lift up Your holy name, God, I pray that You would help us to see, Lord, all the blessings You brought into our lives. And God, I pray that we would fix our eyes on You once again. Lord, there's so many problems, so many issues around us. And God, right now, I pray that every one of us would fix our eyes on You and what You have done and what You are doing in our lives. And God, that You deserve the glory. You deserve the worship. You deserve, Lord, just the passion of our lives going after You in every aspect of our life. God, we love You so much. And God, I pray right now that we would fix our eyes on our King and on our Lord during this time together. God, we love You so much and are so thankful for Your presence in this place today. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let's worship the Lord together, and let's go after Him and just spend some time in His presence today. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord.
Found in Your hands fullness of joy, every fear suddenly wiped away. Here in Your presence, my gains now fade away. Every crown no longer on display. Here in Your presence,
to your name, Jesus. Lord, we love you so much. God, everything in our lives, it bows before you right now, God. Lord, you are our King, you are our Lord, and God, I pray over every one of us, Lord, if we're in a good season, if we're in a tough season, God, help us all to fix our eyes on you and understand that you are the one that brings hope, you are the one that brings joy, you are the one that brings peace, that passes all understanding to guard our heart and our mind. And God, I pray right now over everyone here, Lord, those that are watching online, help us to get our eyes fixed on you once again, because you prepare that table before us in the presence of our enemies. You anoint us with your oil. Our cup overflows because of our presence, because of your presence in our lives. And God, I pray for every one of us here today that you would go with us with your anointing, your strength, and your power. And God, help everybody that we encounter this week to see your joy, Lord, to see the fruit of your Holy Spirit overflowing from our lives and everything we do, everything we say. And God, just continue to touch us and help us to be the light into this dark and broken world. We love you so much, and we're so thankful for your presence here today. God, I pray for those that were baptized today. God, we celebrate with them. Lord, celebrate that step that they are taking and they have taken in their lives, and celebrate your goodness on how you have saved them, how you have brought them into a relationship with you. And God, how they have taken that step to publicly proclaim their love for you today. God, I pray that you'd go with us today, God, with your strength and your power. We love you. We thank you. Your name we pray. Amen. 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 Praise God. Thanks for being here today. If you are here today and you want to give your heart to Jesus, I want you to come find me right up here at the front. I'd love to pray with you. Or if you're here and just going through a difficult time in your life and you just need prayer, come find me. I'm right up here at the altar. There's others that are around that we would love to pray with you and just spend some time with you as you get ready to go. I love you guys. Hope you have a great week. If you're a guest here with us today, go right through those side doors. We'd love to meet you. Just shake your hand, give you a cup, and just spend some time getting to know you today. I love you guys. Hope to see you Wednesday night. God bless.